I was speaking to someone during the past week, and it was not entirely, but largely through that conversation that my attention was drawn to this verse before us here this morning. Person was quite upset and very concerned about someone close to them. Person is a Christian, and yet it seems at the present time that they are being engulfed by the spirit of the age, perhaps carelessness, and there certainly is that going on, that had that person that I was speaking to asked me if I would pray for them in my own time, please, and of course I agreed to do that. And folks, it is common enough today for you and I to think of people that we love dearly and some that we've known for most of our days, and they seem to be either overcome or being overcome. And sometimes that can bring great discouragement to our hearts. You will remember when the Lord Jesus was sending the message to the churches in Asia Minor, seven of them, chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. Constantly in those letters to those churches, you will find the words, "To him that overcometh," not "is overcome," but "to him that overcometh," and the expression, the word "overcometh," really means in the original language, one who is conquering and has conquered. It is a word that is used even in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ going forth conquering and to conquer. Overcoming is very important for God's people. And the battle today for all of us who know the Lord is to continually be overcomers. Looking back on what last year was, or the year before that, or 5 years ago, that is nothing more than history. We must have that up-to-date experience with the Lord and knowing what it is to be in victory. I'm very aware of that as someone with the responsibility that I have. But all of us who know the Lord, we need that up-to-date walk with the Lord and to know what it is, to be able to look back to last week and say, "I conquered. I was overcoming last week." Not overcome, but overcoming. Now, in the chapter itself, you will see there that there is a woman spoken about which represents the church right down through the ages. All of those who know the Lord. There was the man-child, which I'm sure you're aware is pointing to Christ, and then there was the dragon, which it clearly states here in the verses that that is the devil himself. And at the very beginning of the chapter, you see here that the devil's aim was to destroy Christ. There was one of the people attending our meeting there a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me that he was going back through the Old Testament and trying to find all the details of where the devil tried to stop the birth of Christ. Very interesting study. But that, of course, was something that he tried to do, but even through Herod and so on, but not being able to touch Christ, not being able to stop him getting to Calvary. You know all about how Haman sought to destroy the Jews and therefore break the lineage of Christ. No, that couldn't happen. And the promises of God's word of a Messiah, that was going to come to pass. And when the devil could not stop him, he turned his attention to where it is today, And his attention is fairly focused on people like you and me, the church. Ferociously attacking the church of Christ. We love to come to church and sing and to have great fellowship, and we do that. And to have times of, you could call it on a human level, happiness and gladness together. We do all that. But those who are saved know that it's a battle. And if you're a Christian today, you know exactly what I am talking about when I talk of this ferocious attack. It comes with his temptations, with his accusations, with his, the Bible calls them his devices, hindrances. Do you know anything about them? Hindrances to hinder you and me. When you read about tribulation concerning the church of Christ, it actually, John actually writing this book spoke in chapter 9 about your brother and companion in tribulation. It simply means pressure, under pressure. So we come to share, to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another because we know about the pressure, unless we walk away, of course. But our responsibility is to continue to look to him. To go back to where I was just now, Christian, there are satanic efforts to just mess up your walk with the Lord. And to bring really to nothing all the desire that I'm sure you have to serve the Lord. Well, here's a verse of encouragement for you. I was thinking of that other individual I was asked to pray for. Of course I was thinking of you. I was thinking of me. Verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Our title this morning, our words that you may take your thoughts back to 1969, the title is, We Shall Overcome. But I'm looking at that, not of course in the context of 69, but I'm looking at that now. We shall overcome. I want you to notice here, first of all, there is death's contribution to overcoming. Death's contribution to overcoming. For the world looking on, when you say to them, we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, they may look at you. Of course, it literally means because of the blood of the Lamb. And how have Christians, many of them we have to say, in much more difficult circumstances, even in their worship situation than us, how have they known victory all down through the years? How has the devil, while he has harassed them, how has he not been able to destroy God's work altogether? Because of the blood of Christ. Because of his sacrifice. Almost 30 times in the book of Revelation, you will read words there about the blood of the Lamb. And that brings certainly to my mind the preciousness of the sacrifice of Christ. The blood of the Lamb, the world may call it slaughterhouse religion, and I even heard one lady call it the gooey bits when it come to the Bible speaking about the blood of Christ. But it's the blood, in the blood of the Lamb, that there is conquering power for you. Folks, you'll not find it, and we've said it before, to our own heart. We'll not find it in the best of resolutions. We'll fail, and we'll be defeated, and we'll be knocked down, and we'll be sidelined and put to a situation where we feel that we're overcome. So that's what it means when it says here, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The devil is no fly-by-night warrior. He's a very formidable foe. And sometimes people laugh and have this big image of someone with horns and think, oh, there's the devil. There's nothing funny about it. And the young people growing up these days are going to come up against some of the most subtle temptations and some of the most deceptive language and phrases that they're going to come into contact with that can affect their whole way of thinking. You and I are glad today This verse is appropriate, applicable to us today, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And that is not just a statement, folks. That means that Satan's plans, his ultimate plan for you and for me, has been totally thwarted. Maybe you would turn, if you would please, to Hebrews chapter 2. Excuse me, maybe I'm speaking today to someone and you're feeling a little bit overcome. Hebrews chapter 2. It says there in verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that is Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." There's nothing more feared than death. Christians fear the mechanism, perhaps, but they know that as soon as death comes, it is absent from the body and present with the Lord. I have to say that many unsaved spend much of their time thinking about the awfulness of death. Some think of after that, and some do not. But here's a verse that shows us that Christ, in what he did, it says there, he also himself took part of the same, he became, that's his humanity, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Now the word destroy is the word that you want to look at, because it means to leave in a situation of powerlessness, or to leave in a situation of complete weakness. Yes, we might fear the mechanism of death. But Christian, death has no hold on you. And it is this, this is what you might call the weapon that the devil would use. Because it says there, who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. An awful thing. To go through life for decades, perhaps many decades, fearing death, and then going out and facing it without the Lord. But remembering our head, our point today, death's contribution to overcoming. Whatever age you are today, you and I need to always remember that without Christ's bloodshedding, we really have no weapon to fight him with. We have no weapon to do battle with. You will see here that the emphasis in the whole verse is really on the Lamb. It's on Christ and on him, and the truth of his substitutionary sacrifice is something, as the Lamb of God, runs right through the Bible. And again we are reminded of the importance. If you look there, for instance, in Genesis 4 and 4, and I'll try to be quite swift with this, Genesis 4 and verse 4, it says, "And Abel, he also brought the first things of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Here is a pointing to Christ. The blood shedding, the bringing of the firstlings of the flock, or the lamb of the flock. That is, you could call it the lamb pictured way back then in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. But then, if you remain with the book of Genesis and turn to chapter 22, you have the situation here with Abraham, son Isaac, and you have the lamb prophesied. The lamb prophesied. When Abraham was there with Isaac, and Isaac was bound and laid upon the altar, and Abraham was going to slay him in obedience with the Lord had already said that he would provide a sacrifice. It says in verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught by a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of a son. And if you read in the New Testament, you read what the Lord said about Abraham. Abraham saw my day. What does it mean? What does it mean when the Lord said, Abraham saw my day? Abraham here saw Calvary. He saw Calvary in Genesis chapter 22. And this is prophetic teaching and pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb pictured and the Lamb prophesied over in the Lamb in Isaiah 53. You know it well. In verse 7 especially, where it tells us about the suffering of the Lord. I'll just turn to it, Isaiah 53. In verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He has brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. We have here the lamb again. We have the lamb presented. And over there in John chapter 1 and 29, we have the lamb pointed out, where John said, behold, or look towards, turn around, look away from me. You can put it whatever you want, but it meant look to him. You have the Lamb of God pointed out, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We have in 1 Peter 1, the preciousness of the Lamb, speaking there of his precious blood that was shed. And folks, you and I want to be on victory ground. And this is not just for those who are ministers or elders or missionaries. This is for every believer. Victory for you today. Overcoming for you today. Not being overcome, but overcoming. And it says here that the overcoming came because of the blood of the Lamb. Do you feel a little bit of a failure? And Christians have told me before themselves, they said, I feel absolutely useless. And I said, hold on a minute. Not useless. And whatever your situation is today, Christian, you can be on victory ground, because this is for all those, all of them, who have trusted the Lord. Over in Hebrews again, just look with you here a moment. Hebrews chapter 9. Again, maybe you feel that you're struggling. Maybe the accuser. Remember, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He will be very quick to whisper in your ear that you are useless, that you can do nothing for the Lord. Maybe you've let him down. And they come along day after day and whisper that in your ear. If we look in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, and the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin. For who? For me? Yes. For you? Yes. For everyone who has ever put their faith and trust in him. All of the sins of all of those who will ever trust him, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And folks, really, it is the blood of Christ that silences the devil. And maybe there's more than we imagine who are in that category I mentioned at the very start, and they appear to be engulfed in the spirit of the age and in carelessness, even recklessness. Well, there's victory for you. There's victory for you who have trusted him. And that being the case, folks, be encouraged today. You shall overcome if you know the Lord. And we're looking here at death's contribution to overcoming. It's all about him. It's not about a resolution. It's good if we can stop some old habit. Like, there's things I would need to stop eating so much sweet things. Hard to do. And people make all kinds of resolutions, but that is not the answer. The answer is looking to him, fellowship with him. And that being the case, we want to delight in his word. I ask myself the question, do I delight in his word every day? Do I delight in his people? Or can I soon find something wrong with them? Well, I'm sure they can find plenty wrong with me. Delight in his word. Delight in his people. Delight in his day. Look forward all week to Sunday. I enjoy the other days. I like to get away with my family if I can, or some of them anyway, a day or whatever, and to go away. I love all of that, but we look forward to Sunday. Look forward to even to Wednesday night and to being in God's house because of delight in his word, delight in his people, delight in his day, delight in who he is himself. The psalmist put it very well, I think, in the Psalm number 5. I just read it for you. I was just reading this recently. It says, verse 7, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear," or in thy reverence, the word means, "will I worship toward thy holy temple," or the temple of holiness. Worshiping here, of course, ultimately, the Lord. It's the Lord's mercy that finds us in his house. And I trust that every one of you, whatever age you are, that you will know this overcoming now. Now, ultimately, those who are saved will be with the Lord, but it's an awful thing to live a life of perpetual defeat and not enjoy this overcoming. You can have now. I've looked here at death's contribution to overcoming, but secondly, our devotion and overcoming, because if you would look with me again, please, at that verse in Revelation, verse 11, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." We've emphasized that quite a bit. It is by relying on him, resting on him. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're in union with Christ. That is something which is undissolvable. But it says now, "and by the word of their testimony." To put that very simply, it means the word they bear testimony to. Witness bearing. Living for the Lord and speaking for him. And that's where a great responsibility for me comes in witness bearing and speaking a word for him. Seeking to be faithful in what we do for him. Now, to do that, you'll need on your Christian armor, as we read off in Ephesians chapter 6, because the devil... Remember what we said? And it hasn't changed. The devil couldn't stop Christ getting to the cross to purchase eternal redemption for all who would come to him. But he'll do his utmost to stop you. He seems to be doing quite well across the United Kingdom. Ferociously attacking individuals and homes and churches and being that accuser of the brethren. You see what it says there in verse 10? Think of those words. "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Casting up all your failures in mine. But remember, you're on victory ground. And we're overcomers because of the blood of the Lamb, but we're to bear witness to what he's done for us. And to tell others of what he has done for us. Remembering the battle that we are involved in. We can't just shrink away. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from thee. And we're not to be ignorant of his devices. There's interesting words in Hebrews chapter 4. Just read them to you. And in the verse 14. Well, verse 12 is all about the Bible being quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But if you look at verse 14, in the same context, "seeing then," taking into account what the word of God is and how God knows men as they are, "seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." That expression, "let us hold fast our profession," literally means a saying of the same thing. If you would look there with me, please, in Hebrews 10 and 23, bear in mind that verse, please. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." It literally means, let us hold fast the same thing. What is the same thing? Well, we've just read about it there in verse 12 of Hebrews 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharp than any two-edged sword. Goes on to tell us, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now there is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And then it says, seeing then we have a great high priest, Christ at God's right hand now for you, a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, and in the original language means passed through the heavens. The force of the words means passed through the heavens, showing us that Christ entering into the holiest of all for us, he could not be stopped. And again, that ought to encourage your heart today to speak for him. Saying the same thing, it's referring to consistency. Consistency with the word and what we have in the word. And after all that the Lord has done for me and you, we want to be consistent for him. Things change every week in the world. And just during the past week or so, I was thinking of two different situations up in Tyrone. And there was one lady went to be with the Lord. Not sure what age, around 50 years of age, something like that. Loved the Lord. Even during prolonged sickness and not in the wheelchair and all of that, wanted to be in God's house. And went to be with the Lord. And then another situation where just in an instant, unexpectedly, someone went out into eternity with no profession. Men and women, these are the days when we need to be up and doing, telling of what the Lord has done for us. And as we do that, what do? We proclaim the Lamb. There's no other message. Proclaim the blood of the Lamb as man's way of reconciliation with God. And he's given to each of us someone to witness to. You'll not pray for everybody, and neither will I, but there are people who, for maybe once, maybe for a month, maybe for a year, maybe for 60 or 70 years, they've crossed your pathway and they'll be in your life, and God has given you them to pray for and witness to, and me too. And we want to do that. And when we do that, we are showing that we are overcomers. And that is our devotion, which is seen in overcoming. And reading many commentators on these things, if a man or woman says, if I said I'm a Christian and I have no desire for this, then I need to look at my heart. I'm not judging anyone, but I need to look at my heart and make sure that it is well with me, because if it is, then I want to be well with you. It's as simple as that. This contribution to overcoming, our devotion in overcoming, and then finally, his dedication, or the Lord's dedication and overcoming. Do you see what it says at the end? And they loved not their lives unto death. Of course, this means that people were living selfless lives. They did what they could. Very often, it was meant sacrifice for them to do what they could for the Lord. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to a young person, and they said to me, still in their teens, and they said to me, they said, you know, sit away back years and years ago, people went through an awful lot to come and worship the Lord and to meet and to share the gospel. Hardship and danger. And I said, that's right. And said, well, said, you know, we'd need to do the same. We'd need to do the same. So much easier for us. So much easier for us. And therefore, there's a great responsibility, because when you look at these words, they loved not their lives unto death, it does mean that surrender and that sacrifice and that selflessness, but it's referring again to him. It's actually referring to God's preserving hand upon us in danger. If you looked at this in the original, where it says, and they loved not their lives unto death. Yes, some of them were martyred, but not all of them. Reminding us that God preserves his work. He's completely dedicated to his work. Do you remember when the disciples were sent out on the commission? Lo, I am with you always. That still stands today. He will be with you, Christian. And he will be with me. There is the commission still to go, but there is a cooperation. It makes all the difference to know that the Lord is there. And certainly if we will give ourselves to him and will genuinely be willing to put ourselves out and live selflessly for him. I don't show those words lightly because when anyone decides to go into full-time service, you're going to get some surprises. And you're going to know what that means to sacrifice for him and to live selflessly for him. But the Lord has promised to be with us. Lo, I am with you always. Yes, some were martyred and are martyred, but not all. And he preserves his work because he's building his church. And rather than you and I just succumb to the pressure of the age, big pressure all around us, why not rededicate our lives to the Lord now? And just say in our own heart and mean it that I'm going to be the very best I can for the Lord. I want to be an overcomer, not one that is overcome. And folks, back to the title again, we shall overcome. Remember this verse, you can read it at home. Take encouragement from it. Turn to it if you are discouraged. But remember whose you are and all the Lord has promised for us. And also remember all the need that there is. That we would be in these days instruments in his hand. Those who are seeking to win others through our testimony and words and life, win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust the thought that the Lord will bless these few thoughts and use them to speak to your heart and to help you to overcome today, tomorrow, and in the days ahead.